All right, I told you guys that we're talking, we've been talking a bit about the Holy Spirit. Last week was just an introduction, but I want to go a bit farther tonight. I'm just going to call our message here tonight, Life in the Spirit. You and I are a breed different from everybody else when we live in the Spirit and we are led by the Spirit of God. Please, I pray that you have your Bibles, your phone, your iPad, something to follow along, or you can follow above. And you guys at home, God bless you guys. Glad you're here with us tonight. But make sure you get your Bibles, because when we go verse by verse, and I am going to cover about 17 verses, we're going to go from Romans chapter 8, and we're going to go 1 through 17. And it's much more interesting when you see it on the page. And we will portray it for you out here. We'll display it. But get ready to see what we're going to see tonight. Now, the Holy Spirit in 27 verses. Now, we're only going to do about 17 tonight. But in 27 of these verses, the Holy Spirit's name is mentioned 19 times. He is so important. And he is the reason that you and I can do what we do. He is the reason that we can keep our head up and our shoulders back and have a spring in our step when nothing is going right. He's the cause that we are able to do that. And so I want us to take a look tonight. I love him, and I'm so thankful for him. But when Paul was writing this from a Roman prison. And when he began to look at chapter 6, he had already written chapters 5, 6, 7. And then it just starts building that this thing is getting better and better. And we've been delivered out of sin's darkness. We've come into marvelous light. And he is so thrilled about it. And so he just couldn't help, I think, except by the Holy Spirit, to bring us into chapter 8. The first verse, of course, is very familiar to all of you, but I pray that he will open this to our spirits. Let's just pray right now. Holy Spirit, you're in this place, and I just, in our hearts, and I pray that you will open this word and enlighten it to us and bring revelation from every verse, just like only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 53, I've said ever since I was a young girl, I think that Isaiah 53 is the heartbeat of the Old Testament. And I've always, in all my Bibles, have a big heart that circles around Isaiah 53, the entire chapter. And today, as I was studying this, and there's a lot to it, there's just so much. And I was thinking, Lord, if this was a ring of the New Testament, I mean, just the regular ring like we wear, it would be like about 1,000-carat diamond in the New Testament. And Paul loved the Holy Spirit so much. That's where his help came from. And Paul wanted us to know where it came from. In chapter 8, verse 1, whenever you see the word therefore, you know that he's already said this, 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 and this. And then he says, therefore, or that's why. Okay, so that's where we're going. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, in these verses, in just a few verses here, you'll see him called a few different names. The Holy Spirit will be referred to as the Spirit of life, and you'll see that in just a minute. The Spirit of life, he is the Spirit of God. You'll hear him called the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of adoption. That is so much. But those are the four that we will see in these few verses tonight. So, we have a promise there that says, now remember this, because of everything that's already been done at the cross, because of everything that's happened to you, there is therefore now is a huge word, no, and he could have used any other word except no, and that means none, zelch, nada, nothing, no condemnation. Now, it's to a chosen people, not to everybody, but to those who walk according, not according to the flesh, but to the Spirit. So when you walk with the Spirit, he's in you, you walk according to his law. You say, well, he has no law. No, he has delivered us from the law of sin and death. We are no longer under that law where we are punished and put to death if we break one rule, because now we still get in the flesh, we will still fall down, and we will still be able to get up, only as we repent and we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I goofed, I sinned, I was wrong, and repent quickly. I mean, let it go quickly and move on in the Spirit. So he said, this promise, you won't be condemned anymore. To those who are in Jesus, you walk according to the Spirit. Verse 2, here it is. For the law of the Spirit of life, underline that, Spirit of life. That's one of his titles. I told you he would be called the Spirit of life. And see, it says he does have a law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Three important words. You need to circle that. Made me free. Linda, I know you'd love to if you had your Bible, but I'll circle it for you. I don't even know how I can work with a Bible that's not marked up. Well, yours is pretty yellow, but okay. He has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we are no longer under that condemnation. We have been totally liberated. To be free means to be delivered or liberated. So praise God, we're not in that darkness anymore. We're not who we used to be. We've even been delivered from guilt and shame. Now, the only reason that we are in guilt or feeling shameful tonight because of something you've done is only because you haven't lived according to the law of the Spirit. Because he said there's no more of that to you who walk in Christ by my help. All right, this is gonna get so good. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now I can imagine these Jewish believers never one time ever thought that they would see the day after living through many years of the law. Paul was a Pharisee, even under the law. Jesus lived under the law. Jesus, though, fulfilled the law. But I would imagine that they never thought that they would hear this written in a word of God that says what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. It reminded people of their sins. It reminded them of what they did wrong. But God, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, when Jesus was walking down the Via Della Rosa, he had all sin upon him. The Bible says he became sin that we might become righteous. He became what? Sin that we would become righteous. So God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of just like sinful flesh. It's like the old sinner out there tonight committing adultery or has a murderous spirit or whatever he's doing. It says that he had that sinful flesh upon him and he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. Verse 4. Why did he condemn sin in the flesh? That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Again, here it is, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, Jesus didn't die to keep us living in sin. He died to set us free from sin. It doesn't get any clearer than what I'm giving you tonight. He says these promises are to those who walk not according to the flesh. Now, why would we want to do that when Jesus was made sin for us? And he took on the likeness of sinful flesh, and he condemned sin in the flesh. So why would we want to even try to return, the Bible says, like a dog to its vomit? Why would we want to do that? So he says, I did all that. Paul said he did all that, verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Woo! In us. Us who did not walk according to the flesh, but the Spirit. That the law be fulfilled in us. I thought the law was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and now he says, not only do I fulfill the law, you fulfill the law. Woo! Amen? Now you fulfill it. Every one of those Ten Commandments that nobody could keep, Paul said it's possible for you to live righteous and holy before God because Jesus became sin and he condemned sinful flesh. Now, a righteous requirement? No, we don't have any requirements. Well, you just read it. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Again, to those who walk right according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 5, he says, let's go a bit farther. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, he very, very clearly there says, if you play in the flesh, flesh meaning the old sinful desires, the way we used to live, the way we used to be, the way we used to talk, the way we used to act, the things that were okay with us and we were not convicted of that sin. He said, if you set your mind on those things, then you will live not according to the Spirit, but he goes a bit farther. And he says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, you will walk in a spiritual way. You will have conviction on you. When we, listen, we don't need anyone to follow us around and say, oh, that was wrong, that was wrong. No, you'll get it. The Holy Spirit will convict you right in your heart and mind and say, you know, that is not right for you. No one has to come and tell you that. It's just an automatic to those who live of the Spirit. Verse 6. Here is something that, an old-fashioned word that we used to hear all the time growing up in the church. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that right there gives us the answer to why this world is so crooked and so evil and so lawless. And many, even in God's family, don't live according to the Spirit and just do whatever they feel like because they don't feel like what is sin for the sinner is sin for the saint. But I tell you tonight, whatever is sin for the world is sin for us. Sin is sin. But the difference is, Jesus said, I sent the Holy Spirit to help you, and you don't have to live under that law of sin and death. Now you live, and you can live under the requirements of the Spirit. Because if you're carnally minded, it's death. And you think, why is there so much darkness and so much death? And you even see some people who... let me just say it like this, like old preachers used to say it. Everybody that's talking about heaven ain't going. OK, Okay? And, I mean, that's just a given. It's not God's will that any man should perish, but all should have eternal life. So he said, I made that possible for you to have eternal life. But to be carnally minded is death. And so this is why this world is actually living in death. You say, how can you live in death? Well, they're living in darkness. And the Bible compares darkness to death. And so if they are living in death, they're really not living. Now, I've heard this many times. I suppose it's true. It says that prisoners that are on death row and they're headed to the electric chair or whatever method of means or lethal injection. However it goes, capital punishment goes today, they used to see them walking down the corridor headed toward the toward death. And they would yell, walking dead man, walking dead man. And I tell you, that's what the world is today. Walking dead people. My goodness. The things that you hear about. The things on the news. Sometimes you can't even watch the news because of the filth and the things that you see. But to be carnally minded is death. But Paul said, many thinking themselves to be wise became foolish. But then he says to be spiritual minded is life and it's peace. So if you're having a problem with real confusion in your head, check yourself and say, Lord, am I a carnal Christian? Or am I a spiritual minded Christian? Because if you set your mind on the things of the world, that means you've fixed your mind on the things of the world and those old desires and fleshly desires, and all of us face temptation. But Paul said, I'm even talking about that. I will help you in all areas of your life. But he said to be spiritual minded is life and peace. You can have both. Now, I don't know if any of you saw Rick Warren on TBN last night. Matt and Lori were interviewing him, and he talked about when their son committed suicide and he was mentally ill. He was suffered with a, I think they called it a maniac bipolar condition. And the night that he said they found out, he said, I was there holding my wife and we were just crying hot tears. And he said, out of that, my wife said, we got home, and he said, I'd just written, not too long after, I guess, it was Purpose-Driven Life, and it's been translated into over 137, I think, languages, and gone into all these nations, and everybody studied the book. We studied the book for weeks and weeks. He said Walmart, big organizations, even the Army have done the 40 days of purpose. And his wife went home that night, and his face, Rick Warren's face was on the cover of one of the big magazines like Newsweek or something like that. And, you know, they were talking about the success. They had just gone over millions of copies that had been sold in just a week. And he said, all of that, it was just, it was good. It was for Jesus. But it was like the world was doing that. And over here we've got pain. And over here we've got Jesus. And we have the peace of God that passes understanding. But over here, we've got such a mess going on. This is horrible, and this is so good. This is so good, and this is so horrible. How could two things be going on in one person's life? And I'd like to see that book that his wife wrote. It's called, I think, Two Tracks, like railroad tracks. And he said she explains that in the book. Because they were going through the death of their son and yet having great success in the spirit realm and what God was doing in their lives. So to be, if you're carnally minded and you were caught in a great trial like Jesus was in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, remember what we just saw a week or two ago in the Word, that Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. And he came out full of power. So however you go in to the trial or the fire, that's how you're going to come out. So if you go in carnally minded, it can mean much frustration and hurt and pain and darkness and even death. Death to maybe not physical death, but death in a lot of areas. But if you go in spiritually minded and you've been following the Lord all along, then you're going to come through that thing, like I said, your head up, your shoulders back. And you will do that because you're spiritual minded, and that brings life and peace. You don't feel like you want to end it all, you're going to make it because you have life and you have peace. You've got the other side. Don't forget, we've always got the other rail. I love that synopsis. I'd love that scenario. But we both have them pretty much all the time. Everything can be going along good, and you get this word, it's like, what? Where did that just came out of nowhere? I was doing so good. So spiritual mindedness is to have life and peace. So make sure that we stay in our word and we communicate with the Lord. Have that private time, church. Make sure we have that secret place to get to. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. It doesn't want to be. A carnal mind wants to have its own way. It wants to do its own thing. It does not want you to fool with it. Just let me do my thing. And it's not subject to God. It doesn't want to be. Verse 8 says, so then, those who are in the flesh, they just can't please God. You're not going to. Because you're so busy doing your own thing, playing with your own stuff, and you're really too busy for Him. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Look at me a minute. Paul had so much confidence in these people that he taught. And Jesus has so much confidence in us. When you look over to John, you'll see him saying, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow another. They'll only follow me. And here Paul talks about his people. He's just looking at them. He says, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And I say that to you tonight that are here. You are not in the flesh, folks. You're in the spirit. Hallelujah. And if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, and I know he does. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's just not his. Because if he dwells in you, you want to be with him. If he's not there, you could care less. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. Read it again, verse 10. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead. If Christ is in you, the body what? The body who does the flesh things, that body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. It's the only reason you're alive is because of the Holy Spirit and His righteousness, or we would all have stayed back there. There would have been no reason to come out of that mess because we were having fun. But the Holy Spirit began to convict us. Verse 11, but if the Spirit, now look at the Trinity here. Look at the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus, there He is, from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead. So you see the Spirit of God, see the Holy Spirit, you see Christ, and then His Spirit who dwells in us. Now, I think it's back at verse 8. We'll see it on down. I wanted to show you the Trinity again. So he says, your body needs quickening. Is your body out of whack? Your body is not doing very well with your spirit. Is your flesh acting up and you're getting very carnal? And you're kind of going after things of the world, and you're hanging out with the wrong friends, and you know they're wrong for you. Then he said, the same Holy Spirit that is in God. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. We read that. And he is the Spirit himself that came to dwell in us. He said he will quicken your mortal body. He will wake up your body, that dead, dead body. So it will be dead. So it will be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Isn't this just awesome tonight, church? Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh one thing. You don't owe it anything. One young lady wrote today, I saw it on Facebook, and you know, she's old enough to know better, but she was getting up into her late 20s, and she wrote, said how old she was, and then she says, in these years that I lived, I've learned a lot of valuable things. And she said, the first thing I've learned is put myself first. And the second thing is to follow my heart. And if I put myself first and I follow my heart, then she said, Jesus will always be there. And I thought, depends on what's in your heart, baby. Depends on where you put yourself first. Well, I know she don't go to church, but people get funny thoughts, don't they? But that was innocence. I really could see she didn't know any better. She thought she'd really learned something awesome. But when the rich young ruler went to Jesus in the middle of the night, and he said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus was talking to him. And then Jesus was telling them, as they said, Jesus, what is the most important of the Ten Commandments? And Jesus, talking in the New Testament, said to him, we can hang the law on two of them. On these words, we can hang all of the law on these two words. First thing is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And secondly, love your brothers and sisters as yourself. Love, love, love. Why? Because God is love. People say, pray for me that I'll love God more. I want to love it. It's not about you loving him more. I think the problem is we just don't know how much he loves us. Because, see, he is love. God is love, period. And he doesn't just give us love. He is love. But he loved us so much, that's why we're here. That's why he created us. Because he wanted somebody to love. And he lays his love upon us. And so we don't owe the flesh anything. Verse 12, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to it. Verse 13, but if you live according to the flesh... Man, Paul's driving this home. You will die. It's not going to turn out well. It's just not going to turn out well. Folks, listen to me at home. If you live according to the flesh, it's the same for you. It's not going to turn out well. Verse 13 again, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, look, by the Spirit, underline that, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. How are you going to put death to those things? Now, when you deal with people who are in pornography, or they're in drugs, or in some kind of addiction or alcoholism, and they're totally addicted, they're like, I just can't quit. I can't stop. I can't quit. Well, according to this is what the Holy Spirit comes to help us do. He will help us to live according to the Spirit. You're not in debt to that thing. You don't owe that addiction not one more joint. You don't owe that addiction anything else. But it says, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put the deeds of the body put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's verse 13. Did you see it? Look at that last line. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, you can't do that by yourself. If you're addicted, you really can't do it. When you say, I just can't do it, I believe you. You can't. But it says there, but if by the Spirit you put the deeds of the body to death, you'll live. So he will do it. You only can do that by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And then it says, you will live. You won't live in this death. You won't live in darkness. You will live. Hallelujah. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Led? What do you think it means there to be led by God? Just, somebody tell me. Guided, directed, promptings. Sometimes he prompts us. Huh, Retta? Yes, followed by the word. Somebody said something? Choices, good. What would Jesus do? Yeah. Amen. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, there's that word, the Spirit of God. Okay, we saw the Spirit of life. We saw the Spirit of Christ, and now there's the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, underline that, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received, here's another word, another name for him, the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage. Where did we hear that as, at? The spirit of bondage again to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. And there it is again. We haven't received. That's funny. That they would call that the spirit of bondage. That means it comes from the devil. It's a spirit. So if you get to feeling like you're in bondage in something with a person or worry or stress or whatever it may be, it's a spirit. But we have the Spirit himself. Look at that. For you didn't receive that spirit of bondage to fear. Again to fear. That you receive the spirit of adoption. Adoption means you join somebody else's family, by whom we cry out, now we belong to the family of God. We've been adopted. We're adopted children. We are the children of God. And now we can cry out, Father, Daddy, we cry out to him. And he said, that's why I left my spirit with you. Why? Verse 16, because the Spirit, there's another name, the Spirit, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, how do you know that you're not going to be one of those that says, Lord, Lord, but I cast out devils and I heal the sick and I preach the gospel and how are you going to know he's not going to say to you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Well, there's how we know. Here's how we know it, because verse 16 says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The devil can say to you whatever he wants to say, but the Holy Spirit says, no, he's your father. You're a child of God. You've been adopted. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 17, and if you're children, isn't that awesome? And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Kathy, give me those definitions, if you will. And if you're children, then you are heirs. Look at this. Here's what an heir means. An heir is a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. Now, Jesus died for us, but I've heard many preachers over the years say it like this. Jesus is the only person who died. Now, many of you were heirs to your parents' fortune or whatever it might be. I remember one young lady in the church years ago. Her mother and father were very, very, very wealthy. And yet, she married a man that they didn't approve of, though he had just found the Lord. He was he just came into the family of God, and he was so precious. Yes, he was a wild man out there, but you could tell he just ate, lived, and breathed Jesus. And the family didn't want to give him a chance, and they threatened her. And they said, if you marry him, we will cut you out of our will. And you know what the bride-to-be said? Cut me out. She wanted to be one with this man, and they lived happily ever after. I'm telling you, it was a sweet, sweet marriage. But Mama was going to come and cut him out. I don't know if they did. I kind of doubt it. But the preachers would say, when your parents leave you money, as I said right there, another on that person's death. So you can legally, you're entitled to the property or rank of another on the person's death. But Jesus was the only one who died and rose again just to make sure we get our inheritance. Hallelujah. So he rose again to make sure we get the inheritance, but I wanted to show you the rest of it. It's also a person inheriting and continuing. Look at this, church. Continuing the legacy of a predecessor. We are continuing the legacy of Jesus himself by the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do this. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let me read it once more in verse 17. And if children, because we've been adopted by our Father, and if children, then heirs. Heirs. Look at this, of God himself who made the ocean, all of creation, the universe, and joint heirs with Christ, because we're children like Christ was, is. Indeed, we suffer with him. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Here you go with that track again over here. Hallelujah. We suffer with him and we rejoice with him. We overcome with him and we suffer with him. It's just the craziest thing, but it adds up. Hallelujah. We are glorified with him. Well, I'm going to stop right there because it's just so cool. But church, we do this by the Spirit of God. He can help you get through anything you're going through. I don't care how ugly, how dark, how fiery it is. Just get with the Holy Spirit and say, you raised Jesus from the dead, and there was no one else in that tomb with him. No one. Dead people don't get up. But the Holy Spirit got him up. And that was our example of what we just read. The Holy Spirit said, in the same way that Jesus got up, that same Holy Spirit lives in you to raise up your dead body and make your body only dead to sin, and not dead to the things of God. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Well, Father, we're very thankful for the word of the Lord tonight. Thankful for your Holy Spirit. Lord, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Holy Spirit, come and help your sweet people. Lord, I pray you'll walk before us, go before us, and keep our minds set on the spiritual things. Hallelujah. If anyone needs prayer tonight, I'll ask you to come right now. And we will pray for you.